inside me.
Return my love. I want you always beside me.
Good morning and welcome to the International Connection for September 23rd today, and things are going very awry here at the studio. Anyway, a bad start to a show that I think is very special. It's the remarkable return of a CKLN pioneer. Your calls and more we probably won't get to. So good morning. It's time for another International Connection. It's heard each week here at CKLN 88.1 FM on the internet at http://ckln.sac.ryerson.ca. I'm your host, Greg Duffel, and I'm here each Sunday morning at this time. Additionally, you may reach us by accessing the International Connection by email or web address, both of which I'll give out before 10:30 to give you time to get a pen and paper handy. Today's installment is a special one as it marks the return of a former CKLN broadcaster who played a big role in influencing the formation of this very program. As some of you may remember, Bob Marshall was the original host of the International Connection. His programming brought us information that Toronto audiences would have been unlikely to be exposed to. Voices such as Dave Emery, Sherman Skolnick, Frank Zappa, Lyndon LaRouche, and the astounding Mae Brussel. Joining us today will be Bob Marshall's teacher, a former CKLN broadcaster himself, visionary and subgenius. After over a 10-year absence, he made a triumphant return to the CKLN airwaves on Wednesday night during Jerry Belanger's Unfortunate Sonic Casualties show, and I'm extremely proud to welcome to the International Connection this morning, calling from an undisclosed location somewhere in the Greater Toronto area, none other than Bob Dobbs. Bob, welcome to the International Connection.
Well, it's a real thrill because it'll be the first time I will be on International Connection.
Yes, that's true. Your student, Bob Marshall, originated the program. When did you come into contact with him? When did you start influencing him?
I met him in December 1984. You can see that little diary entry on my website, but we'll give up that later. December 83, I met him at a party down on Queen Street at Bob News House, friend of Don McBurney. And he had been interested in a lot of things that he later was known for, but I gave him the crystallization, and then I steered him at 2CKLN and was his mentor behind the scenes.
And just for audiences who might be interested in what Bob Marshall is up to now, seeing as he was a big influence on me.
Yes.
And I'm sure lots of other people who are listeners to the International Connection and even former CKLN programmers and staffers. Can you tell us anything about Bob Marshall, what he's doing at the moment?
Bob Marshall is with me in New York City. He lives in the Upper East Side under another name.
I see. Okay.
We got together. He went underground in the late 80s. I got him involved in the gold deal, but that was other matters. And then he was quite disturbed about how the 90s unfolded, and he just laid low. And then we reconnected, or there was a function for him in New York City, and he came down within the last year.
Okay. So anyway, I knew our audience would be interested. I thought I might play a recording from my vast Dobbs archive of a show broadcast on CKLN at... It was January 23rd, 1991. It was your Wednesday night program with Mike Dyer, and it appeared biweekly on this station. And this particular installment followed shortly after the U.S. President George Bush Sr. entered into the Gulf War.
Yes.
I listened to that program last night, and it could have been broadcast today, and it, you know, with beyond just references of certain countries, it could have been run, and everybody would think it was contemporaneous. Now, I'm going to play a little segment from that, Bob.
Great.
And here are your ruminations about World War III.
All right.
Caused by movies and the beginning of telegraph movies and the beginning of radio was the Germans were looking for a place in the sun. They
concerts.
Where they were still operating under center margin structures. They wanted a place in the sun. And then World War II was more claustrophobic as the radio environment began to dominate, and so the Germans were worried about Lebensraum, which was kind of a feeling claustrophobic. That was their complaint, so they started World War II, apparently, over that bottom-up reason. Now, World War III has been the post-industrial information barrage overkill, and we're now witnessing World War IV, and the key word that started that war was linkage. Now, what's interesting is to the acoustic Iraqis, linkage means everybody's interdependent, and under electric conditions, that's a fact. So, therefore, they want to link the Palestinian problem to their problem. But visually biased, kinetic biased American says linkage does not matter. There is no linkage in this problem between Bush and Hussein, supposedly. So you have two cultural responses to the fact that we are interlinked electrically. The American does not see the linkage as a resonating interval, interpenetrating. They see it as a series of connections, visual mechanical connections, and they don't see a connection between Israel and the West Bank and the PLO and Palestinians and Kuwait. So linkage is the key word for World War IV, which really is the flip point of World War III, which was the knocking down of the walls. The Battle of Jericho was fought by the media archetypes. But then what happens here in World War IV, we've flipped into a specialized aspect of hijacking the media archetypes for panic cool, or cool panic maybe is a better way to say it. And that's World War IV, the flip of World War III. Okay, Mike, I rest my case.
So that was a broadcast on CKLN January 23rd, 1991. And that was Bob Dobbs, my guest this morning on the International Connection. So, Bob, any commentary about that?
Well, that was a tremendous statement by me, and it certainly relates to what I want to talk about today.
Well, go ahead.
Well, I think the pattern was laid down in 1990 with the collapse of so many governments, the world government, the universal government, the solar government, and the mythic government in 1990. The war, particular war in the Middle East, was a fragment of that total collapse. And then we have today the homeopathic retrieval of that situation, with more emphasis on the hijacking by the anthropomorphic physical. Now, these are terms that may not be familiar with the audience, and I don't want to go into that yet, other than we can go into it. Maybe you might want to talk what you wanted to ask, in particular, maybe historically, or whatever, before I do the metaphysical level, which is what I just replayed.
Well, obviously, I think a lot of the people that are listening to the program and seeing as you have reappeared at this seemingly pivotal moment in our lives, in this era, this World Trade Center-centered attack on New York, attack on Washington, attack on the United States, maybe our audience might want your take on that particular event.
On how or why it happened?
Yeah.
Well, I know that 25 years ago, the technological situation had imploded enough. You had the convergence of computers, television, and satellite, which we began to call the chip economy in the late 80s, early 90s. That chip economy, 12 individuals saw a possibility of hijacking that for perverse reasons, in the sense of vanity, the pleasure of not turning into the disservice of the convergence, which is a cyborgian effect. In that situation, they thought they could lock down their control technologically through data and switchboards, what I used to call on CKLN and the solar government. The solar government I was involved with was, in a way, hijacked by these people in the period before I became chairman. That's a complexity we can't go into now, but the problem is that they, as they hijacked it, they had certain goals which they hoped to have established by 1990. Because there was so much decentralization and resistance by cultures and ideologies and media and fragmentation through the 90s, they weren't able to achieve what they hoped in 1990. By the year 2000, they had set up plans a couple years before, I'd say 97, 98, which was manifested in American politics as the in impeachment of Clinton. That momentum from 98 to 2000, whereas I predicted before last year that they would not have an American election the end of 2000, they would have to cancel it. We've seen that. The problem is that they were in a panic situation. They knew they had to make a move to really create a panic situation, a homeopathic retrieval of the panic situation of 10 years before, to move behind the scenes as the war unfolded, to lock down what they intend to do, which is turn the world into a global concentration camp. So they made their move, and as any clever crime, you always have a really shrewd disguise. So no one would think these people, in general terms, the heads of the international corporations, would nuke their own headquarters. And they knew that the headquarters was not New York because the headquarters is a switchboard in, quote, cyberspace, the solar government level, and that they knew that the disruption of New York would be temporary. They could get the economy going, but it certainly would be an impressive spectacle to stun the world, because from the world's point of view, New York became the capital after 1990. So that's what they've accomplished. And the unfortunate point is that there will be increased radiation through nuclear bombs in North America. There will be bacteriological and food war. And so to move us ahead quickly, is that I hope to set up a network within the next year which will provide the best medicine, the best food, the best water, and the best information and the best wisdom to counter what will be obvious to people in a year or so when the dust clears over the tragic events that will happen over the next 12 months, which have a momentum that is really going to be hard to stop.
And your reappearance in Toronto at this time, is that significant?
Oh, yes. I'm involved with very powerful people and very influential people, and also I'm in touch with the street. So I always claim that I ran the solar government. This is a battle within the solar government, and I'm making my move now as well as my wife. And we're here in Toronto, which is a very important place to be. Toronto, I used to always say that Toronto was the Switzerland of the new solar government, and Toronto has every faction possible here, and it's more important to be here, even though I do still live in New York and will be going back to New York in a week or so.
Now, there are a lot of ideas that have been put forth on this program during my short tenure here, and sometimes when someone like you reappears, I do begin to perhaps not question, but think alternatively about some of the things that I've brought forth to the audience, some of my thoughts that I, you know, am privileged to expose to a larger audience than, you know, just my wife. And one of them is that the Canada as a nation, and I'm cognizant of the fact that we've lost a lot of our sovereignty over the years. Now, this event that's occurred recently seems to have effectively destroyed whatever sovereignty we thought we had.
Yes.
Do you think that's significant or not?
Well, your statement is proved by the fact that Bush left out Canada, and the Canadians objected the next day when he gave his address the other day. The reason he left out Canada is he does not consider that another country. It is the 51st state from the power elite in the United States perspective. So Canada is well integrated in the United States, and it's been obvious to people who tracked that thing the last 10 years. I met people in New York a few years ago who claimed to me that, and they had the power to do it, that they planned the economic takeover of Canada from this building on West 36th Street in the middle 80s. They planned it. That would be right when Mulroney came in. So Canada's been economically locked down. You just have a Hollywood set representing Canada now. And so why would Bush inventory and appeal to Canada when it is an integrated state right now?
I mean, your views on that match with mine at the moment. Do you think it's significant that we care about that? Should we be resisting that, or can we resist that? Or
no, because you're going to have a one-world government in a very shrewd presentation within a year or two. We're into a war that's going to go for 10 years at least, maybe 40 years. And some parts of the world will be able to move along as they traditionally felt they should go, but many parts, including Canada, will be in a new paradigm, a new situation. So I don't think we can work in this integrated grid of communications and implosion where we all resonate in one magnetic node. I don't think we should think in terms of nations and groups and that. It's who you can work with. Whoever is interested in the way you want to conduct your life is who you work with. And that can be anybody on the planet. And that would be the best way to bypass the bureaucracy that will be brought in a more integrated, oppressive manner. And so don't think of yourself as a Canadian. We are one people now. This event on September 11th was the global Esperanto that signaled that we were one entity. And that's the fact we are now. Now, how we interpret that, what structures we bring in on the economic, political, social, personal levels is what we have to be very agile in creating. not saying in create blatant anarchy, but the thing is you have to realize your food's going to be more poisoned. The basic necessities of life are going to be very inconvenienced. And this is a breakdown that allows you to go to the better foods, the better water, and the better devices that treat those, and the better devices that treat illness.
I'd love to get into that a bit later. I just want to cover some ground now, just to give an overview for the audience, because the audience, even though they may be fans of the International Connection, have listened over the years to Wayne Morris and so on, they may not have ever heard the Bob Marshall and may never have heard Bob Dobbs on the program, the many programs he was on in the late 80s and early 90s on CKLN. Now, one of the things that was a big part of your program in the early 90s was the concept of 22. Now, I've brought that up on the program here, albeit sometimes sort of apologetically, but there seems to be a confluence of that number. Now, I'll give you an example, which I'm sure you're very aware of, Bob. I have here from the National Post on Wednesday, September 19th, and it mentions the bombing happening on September the 11th. And it also tells of the authorities saying that one source close to the investigation said, quote, "Yes, we have heard something about September 22, but nothing specific. We have information that leads us to believe that there could be more attacks very soon. The same murky sources that indicated something might be coming in the weeks before the attacks have indicated something may be happening this weekend. It is our hope that we can stop it." Now, there again, the 22 and then the 11, which is half of 22. Now, this may sound very strange to our audience. Can you explain the significance of 22?
Well, it's very appropriate because Club 22 was the term for my total operation at CKLN, which Bob Marshall was part of. And it reflected the showbiz restaurant at Windsor Arms Hotel called Club 22 on Bloor. So that's the local point. Then you realize this is happening in Toronto. Two run two. Run two two. So 22 is embedded in the Toronto word. All right, now 22 can be considered 11 and 11. Now we had a situation here where flight 11 and flight 175, now you add or subtract the numbers, whatever you want to do. You don't change the numbers, but you have the numbers to work with. So I add 75 is 12. And take away the one in front of one of in front of the 75. So 175 reduces to 11. So you had flight 11 and flight 11 crash into a tower that is 110 stories, and the other one's 110 stories. So you have 11 and 11 going at 11, 11. But really, it's 22 going at 22. Now to supplement the 11, 11, the date of the attack was September 11. That's the ninth month plus 1-1. So that's 11. 911 is the number for help. That adds up to 11. Muhammad's birth is celebrated on the 11th day of the ninth month. September 11th is the 254th day of the year. 2 plus 5 is 7, and 4 is 11. After September 11th, there are 111 days left to the end of the year. 119 is the area code to Iraq, Iran. That's 1 plus plus 1 plus 9 equals 11. The Twin Towers, standing side by side, look like the number 11. And then we know about the number of stories. Is 110, which becomes 1111. The number of tower windows, 21,800. 2 plus 1 is 3 plus 8 equals 11. The third building, number 7, down there, to fall, had 47 stories. 4 and 7 is 11. I mentioned Flight 11. American Airlines number, 1-800-245-09999. That whole number adds up to 11. The state of New York is the 11th state added to the Union. New York City has 11 letters. Afghanistan has 11 letters. Flight 11 had 92 people on board. 92 is 11. Flight 77, which was the one I think it crashed in Pennsylvania or the Pentagon, I can't remember right now, had 65 on board. 6 and 5 is 11. On Friday, September 13th, 2001, President George W. Bush went to the World Trade Center to talk with and thank the firefighters, rescuers, and police officers who have given their time and hearts tirelessly 24 hours a day since the horrible tragedy. President Bush stood on top of a pile of rubble with a firefighter whose helmet was numbered 164. 1 and 6 is 7 and 4 is 11. The train, which was stopped, and two suspected terrorists arrested near San Antonio, Texas, was number 121. That's 11 times 11. The first plane to hit the towers was Flight 11. The house where the terrorists are believed to have lived had number 10001 as a number. That's 11. It can go on. The point is, it's 1111, so it becomes really 22. But as I used to say, 22 was the symbol for the Tetrad manager, who orchestrated the different media in managing the world during World War III. World War III is defined in your opening quote from the January 23rd broadcast. The reason we have 11 and 11 is that we've set up a fake polarity here. That's the reason why 22 breaks up into 1-1 and 1-1. All right?
Amazing. Now, I'm going to play a little section again from the January 23rd, 1991 show, and this is you talking about 22 on that program. Here
Great.
We go.
And note, January 23rd is 23 minus 1 is 22.
Okay, here we go.
Are you okay, Mike?
Yeah,
everything's in order. The point is it was 2:32 Iraqi time. Now, there's the 22 and the 3 in the middle, but you just take the 3 and you put it in front of the first 2 and you get 3:22. Now, scholars of the top-down analysis know that 3:22 is the number, the magical number for the Skull and Bone Society, the secret society out of Yale that George Bush is well known to have been part of. And the reason they have the number 3:22 is two reasons. It's the death of Aristotle and, I think, the birth of Democritus. But for some reason, these secret people, maybe because they hate the Platonists, use the number 322 B.C. is important. So at 2:32, two nights in a row, they have the bombings. I think we can look at it that way. The 6:32, that's 9, and 2 is 11. That's half of 22.
So there we go, Bob.
On it goes. Very good, Greg, that you're citing these. The point is, it's not that we're being superstitious about numbers. I mean, there's the Kabbalistic interpretation of 22. There's a whole numerological tradition, a mystical Gnostic tradition around 22. The point is that the language, the artifacts that humans create have an underlying order that poets and scientists have always searched for. But isn't it amazing that we create an environment, an electric, televised, integrated world thing, where the final greatest spectacle we can see, and it has all this resonance with numbers. So it integrates the math, the poets, the humanists, the designers, the artists. That is, who knows who, but is some kind of predestined law and resonance that leads toward the future as well as resonates back to the past. That is something that numerically can be applied. That's what's amazing.
I'm going to play another track here that I recorded, and I think you'll be amused by it, and maybe you can give us some details. It relates directly to Toronto.
Bob, this is the electrified voice of Tom Rich. It's 9 o'clock in Toronto on January the 17th. And I'm parked right out in front of number 10 Toronto Street. The gates are open. The lights are burning. I don't know what's happening, but there is a police car right in front. And the number is 6087. 6087 is the police car right out front of number 10 Toronto Street. There you go. And there's a plainclothesman, and he's talking to a plainclothes cop in a Fury, a Plymouth Fury. So that should tell you something, Bob. Goodbye.
Now, again, that's from a broadcast from January 23rd, 1991, and you heard the electrified voice of Tom Rich. Would you like to comment on that, Bob?
Well, Tom Rich was a really good friend of Bob Marshall, and they put out the perfect pitch in 85, 86, three amazing issues, and it was a PR release under Club 22 purposes. Tom Rich eventually met me, and he started to contribute a lot to my show, but he had been on The International Connection with Bob Marshall and Adam Bond in 85. Tom Rich, therefore, learned a lot from Bob Marshall and me, and he was seeing the language and numbers, and he used to leave really good messages on my phone machine, which I would always play at the beginning of my show. And that's a good example of a student in fine form.
And what is the significance of number 10 Toronto Street?
That's a... very powerful, the address of a very powerful British intelligence allied group that I will not say their name directly because we don't want C. Kellen to get in too much trouble.
Okay, very good. But people will know that number 10 Toronto Street is in the downtown core, just near King Street and Young Street. That's right, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the point is that the historical power of the Canadian establishment and its ally and alliance with the royal family and the British oligarchy, which was always historically a bulwark against the American Revolution and what the American Revolution and technological dynamo built, the tension of that was a key switchboard at 10 Toronto Street, which it becomes 2-run-2, right? 10-22.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad they didn't start the war on a Bob night.
Did you hear that, Bob?
Yes. That was Jerry Belanger.
Was it really? It really was, huh?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was Jerry's voice.
Huh?
Anyways, the thing is we need to... your archives are very valuable. You can replay stuff over the next year, which shows people that individuals can understand the pattern of history long before Dan Rather tells you. And anybody can understand this, but we're in a new situation now. We're in a totally new blank slate. And I don't think any information and outlet referring to the past is relevant other than as entertainment when you're taking a breather. The networks we have now set up are a great gift to humanity to integrate and bypass any bureaucratic structure that's going to try to limit and specialize human direction, which is what we're up against. And therefore, I advocate any kind of resistance, creative resistance, as well as recognizing you don't know who your enemies are, and so you got to be cautious about who you're resisting.
Now, that brings us to the anti-globalization movement. Now, how do you see that having been a catalyst for what we're seeing now, and how much do you see that as being the enemy of those that are acting out now to create this world government?
Well, as Baudrillard and Foucault and what's called the postmodern thinkers have pointed out, resistance has to be really subtle and shrewd now. It has been, this has been the situation for 30 or more years. These French thinkers came out of the problems of May 68 in Paris, and they were sort of upset about and not understanding why that revolution didn't happen. As they got more perspective on it, then it develops a media savviness, supplemented by a good understanding of Marshall McLuhan's work. Their insight, which many students get in college now, is that resistance, it can be easily co-opted. So I think we can keep the traditional habits and styles of resistance going, but they can't be the only one. And yes, the resistance that symbolized since Seattle in December 99 probably panicked, one could say panicked these people who wanted to stop resistance and create a global icon. But the point is their plans were in action a long time ago. Specifically, the panic phase begins in 97-98. So because the electric environment has come alive and technology is inside us, I think the resistance movement was a symptom of trouble, a symptom of picking up. There's something wrong going on at what is supposed to be presented as headquarters, the G7, G8 summits and WTO summits. I think a lot of people understand the inadequacy of that bureaucracy, but what do you do when the momentum of it is going through and we're going to have a lot of terrorists and bombings? We won't know who's bombing who, but it will hurt the planet. We seem to have to go through this. So I project forward that in the next 10 years, we resist creatively, and part of resistance is to get healthier, to get smarter, to stay in shape better. But to do that, you need better food, better water systems, and you need devices that will heal you better. I think that they, the establishment, the corporate people who have built up Monsanto, will move towards and make genetic discoveries and breakthroughs, and these will help those who are so polluted that they almost can't get healthier through a simpler lifestyle, simpler, purer food. But that'll only be short range. So we have to think in terms of long range. We have to rebuild the planet. We've been in a nuclear war in terms of radiation effect more than people realize for 40 years. It's affected a lot of people's health and attitudes over all over the world. So we really have. The punchline of this recent event of September 11th is that it shows people that the worst, Murphy's Law, if the worst can happen, it will. And we've come to that point that many people thought in the last 40 years of a world of comfort. They enjoyed the friendship of comfort. But now, as the world goes colder, the real desire will be for the comfort of friendship, and we have to realize how to move that forward.
Yeah, I noticed in the track that's available on www.globaltheater, spelled the American way, ER.com, your broadcast on CFRB recently.
Did you hear that?
Yes, I did. And today, even more so on this broadcast, your thrust is of probably more than ever is about our health, food, and so on. And I'm happy to hear that. It's something that is very germane to the International Connection. The International Connection show actually started going in that mode for quite a long time. There was a lot of talk about alternative health. What do you think of that alternative health movement as it's going now? Do you think that there are dangerous elements within that? And do you think that has to be reformed, or do you think they're going along the right way?
Well, the alternative health movement, my wife and I were involved in that since 1969. So we're experts on that, especially my wife. And she says by the middle 90s, the vitamins, supplements, the minerals, what you saw in the marketing of alternative foods and alternative stores were useless. And there's only one vitamin supplement she recommends. It's standard processing, which is only available through doctors. But on top of that, my wife got very involved in developing new medical technologies which integrate the effects of herbs, homeopathy, acupuncture, and magnetic electrical massage effects. That situation is, we have devices that go beyond the co-opting of the alternative health movement by all kinds of corporate levels, and that's what we'll be exposing over the next year, is revealing new things. So basically, the alternative health movement has run its course. Those who are going to wake up have woken up to that, but there are a lot of problems, basically parasites, fungus, bacteria, and viruses that homeopathy and herbs and acupuncture are really good for alleviating, as opposed to the horrible drugs and stuff you get in the mainstream hospitals. But as the quality of food goes down, the quality of herbs, the Chinese radiate herbs, and herbs get radiated coming in. There's a real problem. So a new device had to be achieved that would bypass that, and we have it. And that's just one thing we have. We have also the D-cell for purifying water, which has been around for 30 years, and there's all kinds of things that are new that people haven't heard about. But yes, those that are definitely move until our devices are available definitely stay on the alternative side. But there's new problems coming as the radiation spreads after a few bombs land, and we're going to have, I don't want to project this, but people have to realize that they have to prepare to die sooner than they thought they would, especially in North America. Mm. And so the horror, the nightmare of nuclear terrorism happening here is pretty likely, especially in this North England, northern part of the world we're in. That's the sad point.
Explain,
so we really got to stop worrying about who did what. The big machine, the kinetic forces of the American hardware world will go forward trying to set up a scenario and claiming this and that person did this. That'll be a big distraction. Watch what China does. My warning to the CKLN audience is China is going to try to make their move and take advantage of this this sort of weird war that's going to come. And not that I'm against China, but China has an historical grievance and a historical position right now, and they certainly are, as a friend of mine said, they're going to say to the Americans and the Islamic countries, say, here, go to it, let me take your coat. All right? They take the coat off the battle, and then they watch, and they make their moves behind the scenes. So one interesting thing that's not being talked about is, what is China's response to this situation?
And when you said North England, can you explain that?
Did I say, I meant New England. I meant the northern region here, New York to Toronto. This whole northern industrial area is a good target for a lot of destruction.
The appearance of Tony Blair and Britain allying themselves visually with the United States of America, do you see that as significant?
Well, we used to talk, if you look at the Bob's Meteorology that Time Again Production put out, you look at the CD, there's a memo to Prince Charles, an actual memo that I wrote, when I was before I became chairman of the Solar Government. And in that memo, we list the 10 holy offices, and we do tetrads, a McLuhan device, on Frank Zappa, Mae Brussel, Linda LaRouche, Marsh McLuhan, Finnegan's Wake, Cosmic Awareness, Garrett Dean, and whoever else I left out. But one of them was Herbert W. Armstrong. And that was the magazine Plain Truth, Worldwide Church of God. Now,
that was wasn't that the show The World Tomorrow?
That's right, yeah. Yes. Now, a lot of right-wing neo-Nazi survivalists think that they're, in the United States, think that they're the new Israel, or were the original Israel. They have something called Christian identity that came out of England, the British Isles, in the 19th century. But what was interesting about Herbert Armstrong is he did not have a political agenda and just laid out that meme of thinking of the Lost Tribes ending up in Europe and Britain and the United States. And so he said the United States and Britain would be aligned in prophecy. They were the tribes Ephraim and Manasseh, as opposed to the return of Assyria, which would be Babylon. And that would come out of Germany and a Holy Roman Empire. And so the division between Britain and the continent, which is an aggravation for integrating the continent, you can see that certain economic forces have left England and moved to align with your Germany, and leaving United States and Britain in a vulnerable position. So that's one way to look at the biblical level. I don't say one stays at that level, but since we're providing information and new patterns for people, and this kind of show is a historical pattern recognizer, that's an interesting pattern. It may explain, if you go to Dave Emery's website, he was someone Bob Marshall featured on CKLN for years. He has a very good index of over 300 shows he's done, which shows the rise of Germany in the 90s, and the economic clout that has bought into Barnes & Noble and the music industry. That, to me, on one level, is the enemy of Britain and United States, Ephraim and Manasseh, in Herbert W. Armstrong's terms. And I say that that pattern is irrelevant for what we're doing now, because we've reached the punchline. The double duty in Tarot Bank happened on September 11th. But you are asking questions in retrospection, and we do have time, and we haven't been nuked yet, so we're referring to that. The interesting thing is that you will see a real bond between the United States and Britain, and a real concern. So what does Germany do? They, the other day, said they do not see enough evidence linking Bin Laden to the bombing. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
News item?
Yes.
They're resisting on that point, and they also are objecting to Echelon. They're the ones who instigated several years ago the investigation of Echelon, which was the Solar Government, and the European Parliament just released a report on that.
Right, we had
so
a
note,
show.
In terms of the pattern that Herbert W. Armstrong offers, better than the fundamentalists, even though he might be lumped in with the fundamentalists, is pure. And his information is interesting for retrospective intervals of contemplation. But again, we're in a situation where no pattern is relevant. We're in a newly, completely unfamiliar situation. And
yep.
I say that George Bush will wait 5 weeks before he makes a move. He doesn't want to be stuck with the blame as being the causality of this situation in retaliation. He's going to frustrate the world audience, especially the American audience, till they will demand something. Then he has that input, and he can ride on it. And I would say we've got about 4 months before any real terroristic, devastating things happen in North America.
Yeah, we had a program about Echelon on the International Connection a few months ago, and explored that fairly deeply, I think.
That's good, and you probably didn't realize that was the Solar Government that I used to talk about, I was part of.
No, I didn't, and it was I was interested that you actually brought that in on the CFRB thing that's available on www.globaltheaterTheAmericanSpelling.com. And I'm speaking with Bob Dobbs, former CKLN programmer and visionary influencer of Bob Marshall, the former host of The International Connection. He's on the line. He's somewhere in Toronto. He's arrived at this very pivotal moment in time, and I feel very fortunate that he became aware to me that he was in town and that we could have him on the program. And Bob, are you still able to come on the program next week?
Yes, certainly.
Good.
If there's an interest, we'll take calls.
Yeah.
You can do that.
It's 416 1655. Now, I should warn you, I did try to set up a situation where Bob could be on the line and you could interact with Bob. That's going to be extremely difficult given the current difficulties we're having here at the station technically. But if you want to phone in and at least ask a question of Bob, so formulate your question and keep it brief and move on to
the next caller or my answer.
Right, exactly. So,
is there anything, Greg, you want to bring up?
Yeah, I want to talk about the situation about doubles.
Yes.
And how doubles.
Did you notice I said that I had doubles?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, that for many people who knew and saw me around the station or saw Bob Marshall would be confused at what I'm saying now, because the distinction was not as clear back then. But as they didn't know, I was using doubles. So the Bob Marshall they saw around there looked like me. Or, if they didn't know about me, it looked like someone else, but then in retrospect. So I purposely, when you consider what I was really about, here's a member of Echelon coming up in the public airwaves. That was, if it's true what I say I am and what I was doing, how could I just walk around and get away with it? Well, doubles had to be used, and that's what I'm now announcing for the first time is what involves Bob Marshall.
Right. I'm trying to get calls here, so I think someone's trying to call in, and please keep going here, and I'll take the call as soon as it arrives, and but I have to do sort of a thing where I put Bob on hold and then go, so it's a bit of involvement there. Now, I'm going to play a little section here, maybe while we're arranging this. Again, a discussion by one of your callers. Now, one of the ingredients of the program that occurred in the early 90s, the Mike Dyer show that appeared overnight on Wednesdays, was that you played call-ins from to your telephone answering machine.
Yes.
And here's one from a caller about this topic of doubles.
Here's a little news item from McLean's magazine, January 14, 1991, page 21. For nearly 20 years, Joseph Stalin often used a double to replace him at public functions because of his fear of assassination, according to the Moscow newspaper, Rabochaya Tribuna. After the murder of Politburo member Sergei Kirov in 1934, it claims Stalin had his intelligence agents comb the country for a suitable lookalike. The man they chose was a Jewish accountant from Ukraine, F.C. Lubitsky. Surgeons, hairdressers, and tailors worked on Lubitsky to improve the resemblance. Then, Stalin had them and Lubitsky's family murdered to prevent the secret from leaking out. Later, Stalin exiled Lubitsky to a prison camp. He died after his release following Stalin's death in 1953.
So, Bob, how do you think doubles are playing in today's modality?
Well, I think if they claim they've killed Osama bin Laden and bring his body at some point, we have to remember in the virtual reality world that there's nothing really referential that we can refer back to in the information overload environment. We can assume that it's probably double, and we should not be surprised if he shows up again as another some capacity. We don't even know if he is involved with this level of terrorism, though I think there's a lot of evidence saying that he was part of the network. But who knows how he shifts and responds to decisions by his allies in the Middle East and changes. So doubles will be used perhaps in the revelation of trying to some kind of conclusion that we've enacted justice. And I know that George Bush, when he was flying around on that day in Air Force One, and his father was saying, telling the people in Air Force One not to take him back to Washington, they eventually created the story that he decided to come back, but we know that was a double. And there also was a double who gave one of his addresses on TV a few days, maybe a week ago.
Oh, what was that? He gave his address?
Yeah, one of the televised things. Several people noticed and were puzzled that he didn't look like the Bush they knew on TV. And that's because he wasn't the same Bush. So, I mean, they're in war mode. They're going to use doubles. That's important. That's what they always do in intelligence agencies.
So are these sort of organic robotoids that... this is a topic that was brought up and I know about because of your influence, but are these people who are... are these organic robotoids or...
No, they're human beings. They don't need to use organic robotoids. Now, that was back when it was still... a battle in the 70s between different factions and the Solar Government. That was an interesting device that was necessary, but once they got control by 1990, the doubles weren't the clones or organic robotoids, as Dr. Beter called them, weren't necessary. you could be more flexible with human beings if you had more total control. And that's what they do now and have had for 10 years, as they intuited that they were losing control as technology went through its Baroque spirals the past 10 years,
so
leading to the panic, which, if you think of the 22 pattern, was predestined through history. I was talking to Marshall McLuhan through a medium the other day, and this may sound outrageous to some people who listen to International Connection, but the point is that people don't realize the resources the, quote, Illuminati have used through the centuries, and their mediumship may not be as accurate as what I have, but the point is, Marshall McLuhan said, looking back at the events of September 11th, you can see that it would be easy to predict over the last 2,000 years that it would end to this punchline. In other words, the kind of thread and pattern recognition that Nostradamus fed into was implied by the effect of the alphabet, the effect of what happened to Rome 2,000 years ago, and then it just unwinded, and here we have this incredible punchline.
So it's 416-595-1655. We're in the last few minutes of the International Connection this morning. And again, my guest is Bob Dobbs.
I'm looking at my clock. It says 10:22.
Uh-oh. There you go.
So we haven't had a caller yet?
We may have. It's just that there are other people here in the studio, and they may have actually circumvented, not on purpose, but circumvented
right.
That call. We're hoping that you'll phone in 416-595-1655. I'm sure there are lots of people out there who do remember Bob when he appeared on the airwaves and may have heard him the other night when he was on Jerry Belanger's show.
Greg, the point is, in the Bible it says that the angels and God couldn't create language, that humans created language. And I think we see that language and the artifacts that come out of it are and extended, are incredibly ordered in a way that Finnegan's Wake and James Joyce tapped into and McLuhan intuited, and poets before saw earlier patterns. But the 22 faction, the 22 number, is this underlying symmetry that happens in languages and their extensions as they interplay among themselves. We as souls come in and out of this dimension, and we're always dealing with the dominant form that stays here, doesn't leave this dimension, which is expressed in the term language. So the patterns of knowledge, secular knowledge in language, is a reason for why 22 would reappear. And even ancient mystics saw the pattern in the number itself, and it already has an aura, a mystical aura of power, before we have the situation where 1111 is popping up in the big double duty and tarot bang, and a punctuation mark that McLuhan invented. You can see it in the book From Cliché to Archetype. It's a question mark and an exclamation mark superimposed it.
Can you hold on? Just,
on it.
Yeah,
and
Bob,
that's what we have on September 11th.
Bob, I'm going to try and take this call. Just a moment. CKLN?
Hi.
Hello. How are you?
I'm fine. I have a question regarding the resistance that he was suggesting that needs to be subtle and smooth.
Yes.
How do we organize? Who do we talk to?
Okay, I'll go back to Bob. Thank you for your call. Bob, did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard that, Greg. There's a meeting at 371 Bloor Street West with Maude Barlow and other speakers called a teach-in today from 1 to 5. Now, that's one traditional form, and it has people who are aligned with that kind of protest speaking there. And that would, you can go there, whether you knew them or not. Or you can go continue listening to CKLN, or you can listen to us on CFRB, or you can email www.globaltheater.com, and we could respond to that. I think that you can resist by realizing your days are numbered and how you would like to die with integrity. And whatever resistance form and group of people that you can work and implement it with is the right answer for you. The thing is that don't be fooled by what the media is saying. The media is totally controlled and is not going to be useful in understanding what's happening. Resist by, you could even call up mainstream media talk shows and bring up these kinds of points, or talk about the kind of happy resistance or happy solutions you have and your friends are implementing. The thing is do not sit back and wait for someone to tell you what's happening and what you should do. Do not be afraid.
Bob, I'm going to go to another call just a moment and put you on hold and CKLN.
Yeah, hello. I've been listening to this show since the beginning. And,
yes.
I wanted to ask the question. I'm not sure if I got this right, but The man who we're listening to, Bob...
Bob Dobbs.
Bob Dobbs, yeah. He seems to insinuate that the Americans could have been behind the bombing of the World Trade Center.
I don't think he's necessarily saying Americans, but I'll let Bob answer that when we go back to him. But anyway, carry on. Is that your question?
Sorry?
Is that your question, or have you got further?
It's not so much that I'm saying he said that, but the sense I got was that he was... The picture that I'm getting about what he's saying is that perhaps there are people who cause the bombing, but then are projecting it upon other people to create a situation. Is that correct?
I'll put you on hold, and we'll go back to Bob, and I'll come back for a supplementary. Just a moment. Bob, did you hear that?
Yes, and you handled that very well. I certainly am not saying that Americans did it themselves. These labels are irrelevant. I forgot to mention that the Board of 12, that is very influential in setting up this problem over the last 25 years, do not have names. They are not limited to one country. The names that you might know them as are changed names, and they have doubles. So we can't identify, and any naming of them is useless. Just know they're human beings surfing this endpoint of our history. The point is that Americans are wonderful people. I live with them. They've been a great host for us and my wife in New York. I've made lots of friends. But people do identify with their tribe. And I think that the communication between media is going to confuse the tribes all around the world. And we have to realize that technology is so intertwined, we are in touch with 6 billion people through the grid of incredible synchronized fiber optics and internet communications, that we can relate one-on-one to people, and we don't have to have our baggage. You just start today talking to somebody as if it's a new game, and we're in trouble, and we should be keeper cool and try to be imaginative. So do not listen to the media's hyping up tribal enmity using tribal archetypes. Most Americans live in the magnetic center just like the Afghanis do. The point is we are unified. We have been linked. To go back to what we said in 1991, we are interlinked. We are inside each other's digestive system, and we are consuming and eating and feeding each other. That's the percept. A noun, a name, an American, any kind of word structure is puny compared to the electronic level we live on.
Bob, I'm going to go back to the caller and just see if he has any supplementary. Just a moment. Caller, does that answer your question?
Well, not really, no, because, there's a lot of supplementary things that the gentleman said, but, again, what I'm really driving at is that it seems to me, again, from what the man Bob is saying, is that there seems to be a subversive or an invisible aspect to what we're all experiencing in the world now, and although the media is presenting it as one way, this gentleman is suggesting that there is something that, for most of us, is unfathomable, unimaginable.
I think you're right.
The point I'm trying to make is that it's occurring in me that it might actually be the cause of this may come from the very place that experienced the tragedy. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I'll tell you what. This is a good sort of cliffhanger. If you, I'd encourage you to listen next week. Bob will be on next week. One last hour with Bob, at least for the foreseeable future. If you're asking these questions, then other listeners must be asking the same questions and are interested. So we'll discuss those next week. And thank you for your call. I'll go back to Bob. Bob, we're nearing the end here of the International Connection. It'd be very sad if this was the last contact we had with you for a while, but you will be back next week. And
I'll be on CFRB tonight. At 11, CFRB 1010 AM, if they want to continue this point, we'll be elaborating on what I've said. And if all works out, I'll be in the Toronto Star on Tuesday. You can read some other interpretations, angles I have on this. But I am saying, in simple terms, yes, it was an inside job on the highest levels.
Okay, Bob, thank you very much for being on the International Connection today. Bob Dobbs. And he'll be my guest next week, and we'll go into more detail, and maybe there'll be more situations happening during the week that he'll be able to comment on. Thank you very much, Bob, and we're going to go to Aquí, Nuestra America, right now. Don't you want to go for a ride?
Connection. I played with Fred Couple.
No question.
Did you cover that?
The International Connection, every Sunday morning at 9:30 on CKLN 88.1. That's right.